One of the greatest downfalls of the church at Corinth was their pride. Pride had muddied their minds into thinking that human wisdom could be used to instruct and guide the church. Some of these puffed up, as they're called, Corinthians, apparently thought that they were better equipped to dictate how the church should operate than even the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul addresses this problem by showing the Corinthians what it is like to be a minister or servant of Christ and what it takes to be one. Now then, in verse 16, Paul tells the Corinthians to actually imitate himself. So Paul gives this discourse on how it is, what's it like to be a real servant of Christ. And then he says, be like me, imitate me. So this really is something that he wants all of us to apply to our own lives. He wants us as Christians, and I believe God wants us as Christians, to look at how Paul describes his life as a servant of the Lord and apply that to our lives so that we will understand what it means to be a servant and be okay with the role model that Paul has set before us. To be okay with a life that is described like Paul describes here of his own life. In other words, if you want to be regarded in the same light as Paul, then we need to act like Paul. Now, that's what Paul was saying to the Corinthians. If you want to be regarded as someone who is mature in Christ, someone who has arrived, okay, here's what I'm going through as an apostle. So, yes, all right. This is what you need to do. Now, the point of Paul's discourse is to help them turn from their pride to a godly way of service to the Lord. The lesson we should learn from this passage is that we too can be like Paul and be a godly servant. That's the encouraging part. That yes, God can give us the grace to live like the Apostle Paul, to serve the Lord like the Apostle Paul. And that's our encouragement today. That is what God wants for us. So let's take a look at this passage and see how we can be a godly servant for Christ. Now, first of all, we can be a godly servant of Christ by developing a humble spirit. Look at verse 6. It says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another. And he uses this phrase, puffed up, later on in verse 18. He says, now some are puffed up, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So the first thing I see here is we can be godly servants of Christ by developing a humble spirit. God wants us to have a humble spirit. Paul has spoken of himself and Apollos, so the Corinthians will learn these lessons themselves. Everyone seeking to serve Christ should apply these following lessons to their own lives so that they are not puffed up or prideful. Okay? That's the whole issue here. They should not think beyond what is written, is the first admonition. Many prideful Christians have thought that their ways are better than God's written in the Word. I've discussed this a little bit with you as it applies to the church and how we see in the church today, the church in general, a decision that says we know how to run the church better than what is written in God's Word. So long as it doesn't go against that, we'll do whatever we can want. We'll have all kinds of things that we'll do to try and help God out with His mission of building the church. Okay? Instead, what we should be doing is looking to God's Word to show us how to operate the church and let Him build His kingdom. Okay? And so, many Christians have it in their minds. Many Christians have it in their minds that, oh yeah, and I've heard people say this, oh yeah, I know God's Word says this, but my situation is different. Right? But my situation is different. So what are you saying there? You're saying that I know better right now than what is written in God's Word. And that is a dangerous place to be. We don't want to do that. And that comes from pride. Thinking that you have spiritual insight that others don't have or that the Word of God hasn't revealed. Okay? Even in the most blatant form of this, we see in these arrogant preachers who would say, I have a special revelation from God, right? They'd say that kind of thing. Well, that right there throws up a red flag with me and scares me because they have gone beyond what is written, right? When you go beyond what is written, then you get outside of the will of God. And we don't want to do that. We want to be in God's will, right? So, and the other thing about submitting to God's Word is it has a humbling effect, right? When you submit, you're humbling yourself to the instruction of God's Word. It takes away that pride in our hearts. And I think that's something that pleases God. I know it is. Because He says, those who will have a broken, contrite heart, those who will humble themselves, will be lifted up. Right? And those who have a prideful heart, those will be abased or brought low. Okay? So it is something, a lesson for us to learn. When we submit to God's way of doing things from the Scriptures, we are humbling ourselves before God. Another lesson to be learned is favoritism in regard to spiritual leaders. You know, he says, some of you are dividing on behalf of one against another. And we've talked a little bit about this before, but our pride can put someone above others in our minds. Especially in our who we think of as a spiritual leader. But Paul tells us to look at every leader as a fellow worker. Okay? So, if you say to yourself, well, in your mind you're saying, well, this guy is something else. He's a spiritual leader. But others, they're nothing compared to him. And so this is my guy. This is my guy. You know what? That comes from pride. Okay? Every guy is just a guy. Okay? I hope that, like my preaching, but I don't want you to say, this is my guy. This is my guy. All the rest, they're nothing compared to him. Of course, I try and make sure you don't do that because I flop every once in a while, right? So, anyways. But that's not how we should look at spiritual leaders or those who serve the Lord, okay? And not pit them against each other. We see this kind of thing, and it only comes because of pride. And it really hurts the work of Christ when we do that. Not only that, pride can also make us think we can please God with our own talents. Paul recognized that all of his abilities were given to him by God. All of his abilities were given to him by God. And he makes that clear in this passage. Okay? So, how can we have pride when we can't take any of the credit for the abilities we have to serve the Lord? And anything we do that's good in the Lord is to his credit and not ours. So with all this in mind, we have no reason to glory in ourselves. We don't. Paul was not relying on his words or his deeds to serve Christ, but the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we see in verses 18 through 20. The Holy Spirit does not display his power through arrogant people. And that's something that we need to understand. That's something that I need to understand. We all need to understand that. Okay? We all need to understand that if we get proud, if we get haughty, the Holy Spirit's not going to work through us. It's just not going to happen. You may be able to whoop people with your confident pride, but you will not do the work necessary to that God wants to do. Okay? God works through humble hearts. God works through humble hearts. So we need to humble ourselves before the Lord so that our deeds have eternal value. You see, I can preach the most eloquent messages. You can preach the most eloquent messages. You can be the most wonderful person in the world and be charismatic in your character, be able to deliver the gospel to someone in the most eloquent way. But if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing will be done. Nothing. And so it's important that we realize that. So the Holy Spirit works through humble people. And that's what we want. We want the Holy Spirit to work through us because we have humbled ourselves before him. So let's develop a humble spirit by submitting to the Scriptures as our only rule in life, by regarding all servants of the Lord equally, and by recognizing that all our abilities to do anything of real value come from the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, I want us to understand we can be godly servants by enduring adversity. Now, Paul in verses 8 through 13, Paul uses a bit of sarcasm or satire to prove to the Corinthians that they have no reason to glory. In this process, he points out the plight that he has and other servants of the Lord face. So what he's saying here is really well described by Robertson and Plummer's paraphrase of verse 8. They say it this way: "You may well sit in judgment upon us from your position of advanced perfection, whence you can watch us struggling painfully to the heights which you have already scaled." You see, what he's trying to say here, he's trying to make a point by using satire. He's saying, "Oh, you guys have arrived. You've arrived, but we haven't. We're just lowly, but oh yes, you have arrived." He's trying to make a point here that these Christians that think they've arrived are actually very spiritually immature because they think they've arrived. So many times we get a false perception of our real spiritual condition. I remember one day talking to a couple, and I just said, "Well, you know, just keep trying to learn from the Lord because right now you're spiritually immature. And they were shocked. They were shocked that I said they were spiritually immature. But these people were definitely spiritually immature. But they couldn't see it. And that's part of the problem with spiritually immature people. They aren't mature enough to understand that they have not arrived. Okay? Let's make sure we understand. We haven't arrived. The pride of the Corinthians had convinced them that they had arrived spiritually. In this satire, Paul demonstrates some of the most spiritual difficulties servants of the Lord face. One of the first ones that Paul recognizes is that he has been made a spectacle of persecution. This is true, but hard for worldly Christians to understand. And let me explain. The spiritual battle is convincing immature Christians that their idea of successful Christian living is warped. It's warped. The Corinthians thought successful Christian living would involve the praise of men and worldly achievements. That's what they thought was successful Christian living. Don't we see that today? Don't we see that propagated today in the church, unfortunately? We see this, they call it the prosperity gospel, right? Oh, a Christian was meant to have wealth and riches and success, and you can have all of that. Walk into the Christian bookstore, and you'll see that. Success now! Have success! Your best now! You know what I'm saying? Everything is about you having worldly success. But we don't see Paul describing himself in those terms, do we? The Apostle Paul, a servant of the Lord, someone God trusted with the written word, is describing himself in terms completely opposite to that thought. And that is what we need to understand. If we're going to be mature Christians, we must get away from this idea that our worldly success reflects our spirituality. It doesn't. As a matter of fact, it may be the opposite. So, carnal Christians are often deceived and drawn to preachers that draw big crowds. And they think to themselves, well, this guy, he must be something spiritual because look at the big crowd he's got. I don't know how many Christians I've heard say that. Oh, so-and-so's got a big church, so they must be doing something. Right. They must be something. Right? I can't tell you how many times. I've heard preachers say that. I've heard preachers say this very thing. He must be doing something right because he's got a lot of people over there. Where in the scriptures does it say that's the case? That is not what we see here. We do not see that. And that mindset that we get in our minds really corrupts our thinking about what it really means to serve the Lord. These carnal thoughts are what Paul is constantly having to battle in his own ministry. And we will too if we are going to serve the Lord. Understand something. We're going to have people come into our church that have this kind of mindset that I just described. Okay? We need to be able to disciple them so that they can grow in maturity. So that they can stop thinking like that and start thinking like we see here in Corinthians. Okay? The way the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us. Okay? So, let's not let them get us down. Okay? Let's not let that spiritual battle that we have with immature Christians get us down. Let's realize that even the Apostle Paul had to deal with that and accept that as being a servant of Christ. Paul goes on to describe his current situation to reveal what it is really like to be a godly servant. Look at verse 11. To this present hour, we are hungry and thirst, and we are poorly clothed, beaten, and homeless. And we labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure. So, right here he says, we're in poverty. We're in poverty. And he is. I mean, he's poor. They're hungry. They're hungry. Surely this can't be God's will, right? In the carnal Christian's mind. But guess what? It is God's will. He tells us that God has ordained them to be in this position of persecution. So, for us to think that, oh, being a Christian involves having all that I want and being successful, no. No. Thank God that's not the way it is. Okay? Because as we struggle, as you struggle from paycheck to paycheck, thinking about trying to, working hard, paying your bills, trying to keep food on the table, don't think that you're not in God's will. Don't think that somehow or another, if you were a better Christian, that you would have more money or more wealth or have you'd be better off. That is a lie. And that is not the truth. And so we don't think that, okay? As a matter of fact, you may be right where God wants you as you are struggling just for the necessities of life. Okay? Because we see this even in the Apostle Paul's life. Not only that, even some who don't believe, let me go on to verse 12. These verses, verse 12 and 13, tell us that being ridiculed and looked at as stupid losers, that's my phrase, by the way, is just part of being a godly servant of the Lord. That's what he's saying here. Hey, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be reviled, you're going to be defamed, you're going to be looked at as the filth of the world, the offscoring of all things until now. So that doesn't seem like a very nice view of us, but that's the view that we should be okay with. We should be okay with that. Most of the time we think we should be looked at as successful and famous or brilliant or just have everything going their way. That's what a Christian's supposed to be. No. That's not what we're seeing here. So, now we shouldn't act like stupid losers, okay? But we should be willing to deal with being viewed in that light. We are going to face this kind of adversity in the world. If you are doing what God wants, don't worry about what others, even carnal Christians, may say about you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If you're doing what God wants, staying within His Word, submitting to Him, don't worry about it. You may not have wealth. You may not have success as the world looks at success. You may not even have a reputation in the community that is favorable to you. Okay? Don't worry about that. You're doing God's will. Okay? That's just part of being a servant of Christ. And you know what? Didn't Christ take on the same kind of ridicule, the same kind of shame, so that we could have eternal life? They mocked him. They spit on him. They called him names as he went to the cross to pay for our sins. Even as he was hanging on the tree, they were mocking him, saying, "Hey, why don't you just come on down?" But he didn't. He kept on course so that we might have eternal life. We should do the same. We should be willing to face adversity, to face the shame, to be looked at in the eyes of the world as unsuccessful, and do it out of love for Christ and what He has done for us. Finally, and quickly, verses 14 and 20 through 21 describe something to us. My final point is this. We can be godly servants by engaging in the discipleship process. Now, after the admonition, Paul tries to encourage the Corinthians to submit to sound teaching from himself and from Timothy so they can grow spiritually. So after this admonition that the Apostle Paul gives, he says, "Look, I'm your spiritual father, and I want to continue to teach you how you need to follow the Lord. And not only that, I'm going to send someone that I have personally trained and discipled to help you become mature Christians, to help you become the disciples that you need to be." So Paul's encouraging them to be involved in this discipleship process. So Paul had won some of these Corinthians to the Lord, and he wanted them to become spiritually mature. Discipleship requires learning what it means to be a godly servant of Christ. The only way we learn is to be taught by others. This is why Jesus told us to go and make disciples, because disciples need to be taught. Understand something. The main action that God has called Christians to is to be disciple makers. And I've said this a few times, but I really want us to realize this is our whole vision in our church, in the world, as Christians. It is to be disciple makers. So, if that is the case, then wouldn't it be right for us to be equipped with the knowledge to actually do that, to actually be a disciple maker? Yes. Now, do you think that most Christians have that knowledge and ability, or have that knowledge to do that? Unfortunately, most don't. Most don't know how to lead someone to Jesus Christ from the Bible. I recently asked some folks, what scriptures do you use if you're going to lead someone to Christ? And they didn't know. Now, early on in my Christian walk, I learned the Romans Road, right? Romans 3:10, 3:23, 5:8, and 6:23. Okay? So, and 10, 9, and 10. So those are the verses I use. Or I'll just go to John 3:16. But my point is this. If a lot of Christians don't even understand how to start the discipleship, disciple-making process in someone's life, how are they going to bring someone to spiritual maturity if they don't have that knowledge? We want to give you that knowledge. Okay? Beacon is all about you having that knowledge so you can fulfill God's main purpose for your life. That's why we're starting this discipleship series on Wednesday night. That's why if you want to have this knowledge, even if you can't make it on Wednesday night, Let me know. We want you to have this knowledge so that when God calls upon you to disciple someone, you can. Okay? That's what we want. And that's what Paul is encouraging these people here to do in Corinth. He's saying, look, get involved in the discipleship process. Learn from Timothy. I've taught Timothy. Now Timothy's going to teach you so you can teach others. That's the whole process. So we've got to get involved in that process. Okay? First, letting others teach us. And then being equipped so that we can teach others. Okay? That's what we want to do. And you say, well, I don't have the gift of teaching. That's not what we're talking about. God's not calling you to be a college professor. Okay? Or even a Sunday school teacher. Okay? He may someday, but this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about you being able to be a disciple maker by showing people through your life and through some wisdom from God how they can follow Christ. And that's what we need to understand. I don't want to overcomplicate this for you. We don't need it overcomplicated. And that's what Timothy, who he trained and who he's sending to Corinth, says for Timothy to do. Paul made this admonition to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2. He says, and these things that I have heard, that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So you see, Timothy, Paul has discipled Timothy, and now he's telling Timothy, hey, you're going to go to Corinth, you're going to go to other places, and when you get there, you're going to teach others what I've taught you so they can teach others. And that's the discipleship process. But unless we get involved in this process, we're going to be like the Corinthians. Just carnal, worldly, immature Christians that never grow. That's a terrible state to be in. Okay? And that's what Paul's admonishing them not to stay in that state. Okay? So, with that in mind, we can be godly servants of Christ by humbly submitting ourselves to God's Word, by enduring adversity, and by engaging in the discipleship process.